Welcome to the official BKB podcast, and I'm delighted to welcome Yorkshire's finest. I'm sure Scott McGee won't be too happy with that, but Yorkshire's finest, it's Rhys Murray. Rhys, how are we doing?
I'm good, mate. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, absolutely average as usual. Looking forward to BKB at the O2, BKB 29. And I'm almost saying to every fighter I talk to, this could be the fight of the night, but this genuinely... You against Tony Lafferty for the vacant British featherweight. This has all the makings for fight of the night.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, his style and my style, I think it's going to steal the show, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I'm just wondering whether we shouldn't give a four-minute warning, you know, because it will be war, won't it?
Oh, yeah, it'll definitely be war. It'll be action-packed from get-go. So
100%.
It's an exciting one for everyone.
So... You've finally got that shot at the title that you've wanted. You've been waiting patiently and earning your stripes. I mean, you're 3-1-1 and one at BKB. So you've earned your stripes, and now you've got this chance. It's too big a chance to let slip, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I've been active all year. I've been this was my plan at the beginning of this year to either get this British title towards the end of this year or beginning of next year, and it's nearly Christmas, isn't it? So happy days.
I noticed just before we get cracking, you always put you from Nottingley. Is that right?
No, they always pronounce from Leeds, but I'm from Nottingley. Yeah, it's just a little town. So Mark Tiffin's from Nottingley. So we both live in Nottingley.
You fight out of Leeds, though, don't you? You fight out of Leeds.
Yeah. Leeds, Castleford.
What is it about Yorkshire and, well, Wales as well, but Yorkshire? I mean, they've got some tough buggers coming out of Yorkshire.
Yeah, it's just bred into us, isn't it? It's just one of them things. We all just know how to fight and we can all take a crack.
I remember the Leeds football team of the 70s. Tell me about it. I know how tough they can be from that area.
Yeah, I've heard some stories.
So tell me now, just a little bit then, about before we go back to when this all started. Go back to as a young kid boxing. Have you always boxed? Were you always in the gym? Was it always boxing for you?
Not really. It was like I did box when I was younger, but I sort of like strayed away from it into my teens and went down the wrong path a bit. Yes, I can't talk too much into that. I might get arrested. But it is important
because a lot of BKB fighters have had that sort of checkered past and have come to a crossroads where they could have gone left and been a Looney Tune, or they could have gone right and they went right to BKB and it changes their lives. Do you feel that's happened to you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was in all sorts of trouble. I was into all sorts of bad things when I was younger, and then I just started boxing again. I took some unlicensed fights, and I was just beating everyone. To be quite honest, they were just level. It wasn't there for me, and then I found BKB, and yeah, it's just here we are, ready for this title.
That's interesting because you did say, you know, you're winning, and I looked at your amateur record. I think your amateur record was like 23 wins, 2 defeats. I mean, you were and a draw. So you were on top in that. Why not pro-gloved?
Do you know what? It was getting to a point, it was hard to explain. I was sort of falling out of love with gloves. And I was actually going to go pro before I got offered to BKB. I was going to go pro. And I just didn't fancy it. And BKB, it just sort of like, it gave me extra motivation, like it was something to get up for again. You know, it was exciting. Like gloves, I'm just used to it. I've sparred hundreds of rounds. I've had loads of fights. You know, it was getting a bit stale, to be quite honest.
You needed something to give you a little lift and a push.
Yeah, definitely. And this, it's exciting because you can't make no mistakes in this game. I mean, with gloves, you've got all that protection, you know. You can just put your hand up and block an hook, and you can parry jabs and all that sort of stuff. It's a totally different game. So you've got to learn the craft all over again. That's what it is for me. I'm just a student at game at the minute, just progressing it each time.
It's interesting you say that, because what I found really interesting is I see a lot of boxers. I mean, was your last fight? I can't remember. Who was it? Russell Pearce?
Russell Pearce, yeah.
Now, he'd been in the ring with Cleverly. He'd been in the ring with Amir Khan. I mean, that guy had good boxing credentials. But while we call this, it's got the same ring, the same rules virtually, it's different, isn't it? Massively different. You're on the inside. You're in the ring. Just try and explain to the layman what those differences are.
For one, you can't punch as hard and all that. You can't, like, with gloves on, you can really let them go. Like, and you can let them go in flurries as well. With bare knuckle, you can't. You've got to sort of take your time. You've got to pick your shots. You've got to be a lot more defensive as well. Like, the art of this game, I believe, is hit and not get hit. And that's what I plan to do. The mad thing is, everyone thinks I'm just a boxer, like an evasive counter striker. No one knows, like, no one's seen my full potential yet. And I think this fight is going to bring it out of me, because with Tony, like, yeah, I can box and stuff, but over five rounds at some point, I'm going to have to sit down and we're going to have a bit of a tussle, you know. So I'm looking forward to that as well. But the rule set, yeah, it's totally different compared to boxing. It's just, it's a different world. I realised that, like, my first fight in, when I first threw a jab, and I did it like I had a glove on with an open hand, you know, that's a popping jab, and my fingers just swollen straight up. I was like, no. No, it were different.
It's definitely a sport for warriors. There's no ifs and buts. But in gloved, you can take a punch in gloved, you sort of shake your head and get on with it. In BKB, if you get landed properly, it's over, isn't it, generally?
Yeah. Not even that. I mean, you've got your cuts, you've got your swells on your eyes. Like, it only takes one good jab to cut someone open, or to make their eyes shut, or, you know, and that can end a fight. So you've got to be very, very, very careful on what you're doing. You've got to have your head movement on point. Your timing's got to be there. You can't make no mistakes, really. I mean, these people what get into wars and stuff. Like, this will be my fourth fight in BKB just this year. You see all these people getting into wars and stuff, and they're only fighting once, twice, maybe a year, if they're lucky. Like, I want to be active, mate. I want to keep everything intact. It, not get it, get paid, get home to my kids, and go again. You know, win some titles, move on to, like, world titles and stuff like that. And the only way you can do that is by being active. You can't get in these wars. It's just taking time off your career, basically. You know?
That's interesting, that as well, because, you know, it's nice to hear, you know, people talk about not toe to toe, but defensive, because whether it's gloved or not being hit is a massive part of the game, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%, especially in this game. You don't want to take too many of them shots in this game.
So you mentioned head movement. What I've noticed a little bit more about yourself as well, doing the commentaries with Robin Reed, is your foot movement seems better. You seem more mobile around the ring. Is that unfair, or I think that's improved greatly for me.
Yeah, I pride myself on my footwork, to be quite honest. Like, I feel, like, no disrespect to any other fighters, but I feel like I've got some of the best footwork in BKB. Yeah. That's just my honest opinion. I really do. I feel like I've got some of the best head movement. But like I said, no one's really seen the best of me yet. Like, they've just seen some of the fights that I've had. I mean, the Lovici fight, take no away from him, is an absolute animal. I've made a good friend out of him, to be fair, since that fight. Right. But I wasn't prepared enough for that fight, you know. The Leeson fight, I think I put too much pressure on myself in my head. And then the Pearce fight, it was just like, that was coming out party, like, this is what I'm about, and I'm calm and I'm prepared. And I just stuck to the plan, I just took him to pieces.
Is it fair to say then that if you lose, generally, it's more about you than the opponent when you lose?
Yeah.
It's about you rather than the opponent.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the fight that I lost in BKB, I was going through a lot of personal stuff. I was down in dumps, to be fair. And I was training, but I was going sparring. I'd go to sparring, I'd do 10 rounds, and then I'd get dropped off at pub on my home, and I'd just sit and drink all night, and then I'd do a lot of stuff that I shouldn't be doing, and that were happening for weeks. I mean, I went to Scott's fight three weeks before I fought, and I was absolutely pissed out of my face at 0-2, you know, 3 weeks. And I just wasn't living the life, and then that opened my eyes after that. I mean, since then I've had 3 boxing matches and I've had 3 bare knuckle. I've dropped every single person in bare knuckle, and I've stopped. I've kept, knocked every person out in gloved since that fight. So I'm 6 fights undefeated at the moment. Got some good momentum going.
That boxing IQ, you call it. I think that's absolutely key. We're seeing more of it in BKB in the recent years than we ever saw in the early days. That boxing IQ is, for me, fundamental. Doesn't that have to be the platform for success?
Yeah. Well, a lot of people think you just go in and throw hands. I mean, you have got to have some sort of physical behind it, but this game is more mental than anything. If you can outsmart someone in that ring, especially over a longer fight, like a 5-round or a 7-round fight, maybe 3-round fights, you've got to get after it, because it's not long. You lose one round, you've got to win the next two. But over a 5 or a 7, if you can outsmart someone over them rounds and just outwork them, like, just, you know, it's, I don't know, a lot of people, like I say,
if your movement is like we've seen, they can't see you to hit you.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I've been training hard for this fight, like really hard. I'm pretty much on weight already. I normally cut like 3 or 4 kg fight week. I'm on weight already. I've been training hard. I've been sparring. I brought some sparring partners in for this one. Like, I've got a friend down in Durham. It's called James Candish. He's a pro boxer. He's fighting on Friday night. I brought him in to, like, he gives me my dog rounds, because I know Tony's a dog. So, like, when me and him spar, it's just pure war. Like, it's 14-ounce gloves on Edgard, and we just fight, and that's it. And then I've got other sparring, like John Collier's been coming down there, more like technical spars. Don't get me wrong, we go hard, like, we hit each other, but the more like technical, good boxing. So I've got all aspects covered in this camp. I can't left no stone unturned. I'm ready for a fight. I'm ready for a boxing match. I'm ready for whatever.
We see lots of boxers. Well, BKB, if you get into the ring of BKB, you're a warrior. There's no ifs, you're courageous. But we see people who come who've got all that. We see others who come who've got great boxing skills but lack a little bit. When you bring the whole package, the word champion springs out. Is that why you're working hard at it? Because this overall desire to be not only the British champion, which is up and coming on December the 3rd, but a world champion?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I've got a little thing in my head what I tell myself, like, I'm already champion. It's just a title. I just need to prove it now. That's it. I'm already champion. And that's my mentality. Like, I feel like a lot of people are underestimating me for this fight, but they're all going to see. Like, I've put the work in, he's put the work in, made the best man win, but I'm very, very, very confident for this.
Well, I think, I mean, for me, I love to see the bare knuckle. I love to see the toe-to-toe stuff, but I also like to see quality. And I think we're seeing more of it now. And I think if you don't have quality, eventually you'll get left behind in BKB. You need that quality. So you're working at that. And you've mentioned two names there that are obviously going to work on that technical side for you to go with your obvious other strengths. So just get back. So how did that transition into BKB? What happened to get you into BKB? Did you call them? Did they call you? What happened?
So one of my best friends, actually, like, we were sat in a pub, and I just quit boxing. I just couldn't be bothered no more. And he was telling me I was stupid and that, and he was saying you can fight on TV and whatnot. And then I just didn't think up to it. And then a couple of weeks later, he passed away. Took his own life. And I was down in dumps. I was just drinking all the time, like, for all that week. And then it actually through Scott McGill and Smudger how I got in. And then Jim contacted me, and I was just like a mess, just like he just died. I was just in pub all the time. And he offered me a fight, and I just literally, it just hit home, like he told me that was going to happen. So I just went for it, and then here I am, like, all these years later. Like, I'm just, basically, I'm doing it for him. This I would have never been here. I probably would have took the fight if he'd have not died after telling me that, you know. So
what a great friend. What a great friend he is.
Yeah, he was.
He'll be influencing you after he's passed away.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you look closer at my fight gear and stuff, his name's all over him. Every time I win, I look up to the sky, it's all for him, you know.
That's the inspiration for you, isn't it? That inspiration to get in the ring and win for him.
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
Well, you know, hope, may he rest in peace, because, you know, it's the saddest of times when people feel everything is that wrong with their lives that they have to take their own life. I think that that is the saddest of all, you know, and that's why we always say, because I work very closely with mental health charity. I'm a chairman of a mental health charity. And I say to people, yeah, you talk, be a good friend. Be a good friend.
Yeah, definitely.
Be a good friend, you know. So that's how you got in. Do you remember your first time you stepped into the ring?
I do. It was on lockdown show. It was weird, and because there was just no crowd, like they were echoing everywhere. It was just, it was mental. Yeah, it was RTK. An experience. Yeah, it was tough. Like it didn't look like much, but I tell you what, he knew what he was doing. Like he knew how to survive, sort of thing. It was the last minute when I was supposed to fight some guy from Wales who had a bit about him, but he pulled out. Then Marty Case stepped in, and yeah, like he just—I don't know what it was. He's never been. I think he's been stopped like twice in over 400 fights or something. Yeah. So I didn't really want to risk it. I didn't want to bet my hands and stuff. So I just picked him off. Used my
feet. You also didn't know what to expect, did you?
No, no, that was it. Like I say, I swallowed my hand up on the first punch because I didn't throw it correctly. And that was a learning curve. Like, I feel like with BKB, you sort of learn on job because you can't really prepare for it in sparring because you've got big gloves on, you've got head guard. So you sort of learn on job, you know.
So I hope that's Yorkshire tea you're drinking, by the way.
Oh, no, it's a black coffee. Black coffee with no sugar.
Let the county know. All right, so let's talk about... Did you change trainers and gyms at one stage?
Yeah, I mean, I've been through a lot of gyms. I've been to a lot of gyms like over years. I mean, there was a point where I was just going around. I didn't really have a gym. I was just going around sparring fighters at different gyms. Like that was just, I was just like a lone fighter sort of thing. And then I settled into Golden Team. I trained there for about two years. So. And then I found a gym that was a bit closer to home for me. It just suited me a bit better. So, like, not against Golden Team. They did great by me. It's the great set of lads down there. You know, there's no qualms by me to them at all. And I don't think it's the same way, to be honest. The great set of lads did a lot for me. But I just found an home at a different gym, Boxing Barn. And like I say, I'm undefeated since I moved there in 6 fights. So... it's going well. Good coaches, good set of lads. Everything's just a buzz and a vibe down there.
How important is having a good... I mean, I've been involved in boxing for the last 40-odd years. And so how important is having a good coach? Not for what they can improve on you, which is important, but when they tell you when you've got to be told something, you know what I'm saying? When they have to tell you the hard truths.
I mean, my coach now is Nathan Owens, actually an ex-pro boxer who was in top 10 in Britain at one point in pro boxing. And he's just a bag of knowledge. Like he's just got so many tricks and knows all sorts of different stuff. It's crazy. And we sort of like vibe together. Like he listens to me as well as I listen to him. You know, if I need a rest day, I'll say, look, I'm not training today. And he'll be like, right, that's it. You'll rest your body. You'll know what's best for you. Like we sort of suit each other when we're training. Do you know what I mean? And it's good. It's like we bounce off each other.
It's interesting because you have this... When I first interviewed you, I remember meeting you the first time and I thought, I always be honest with you, I thought, what a miserable bugger he is. You come across as, you know what I'm saying, intense and... But you're not at all, are you? I mean, in the ring, you're exactly what you need to be at BKB, but outside it, and I see from what you say about your family and your kids, you know, you're quite a family man, aren't you? A home family man.
Yeah, of course. I'm a full-time dad. I've got full custody of my son on my own, you know. I've got a daughter. I've got an older son, you know. Like, I'm a family man. What you see in the ring, and like a lot of people don't maybe took wrong impression of me, like when I used to beef with Leeson and stuff like that, you know. When I used to be for Leeson and stuff, like, because I came across cocky, but that's me, like, that's me as a fighter. I am cocky, you know, and that's just, I'll always be like that. I'll never change, but outside of being like, I'm just a family man, I'm just a normal guy, you know.
So tell us then a little bit about your ambitions. You've said to I mean, you actually say, when I looked at it, you actually say, you know, when you were asked if you got any titles or honours, you said, soon to be the British champion. I mean, you're that confident, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm confident because I've put the work in. I've been active all year. I've put the work in, and I owe myself this. Like, I deserve it. No one's going to stop me on that night. I mean, I've got no disrespect towards Tony. I know him personally. He's a good guy, and it's going to be a good fight. I know he's going to bring it, but it's just meant to be for me that night. Like, I truly believe that.
Tony's got a lot of respect for you as well.
Yeah, well, we've had a few beers and that together before, you know, at shows and stuff. We know it too well. So it's a bit of a shame I have to fight him, because he's a nice guy, like, and we've had a laugh together and stuff. But at the same time, it's business, you know. He's in my way and I'm in his way, so we've just got to get it done with.
Yeah, but once the bell goes at the end, that's it, isn't it? It's over.
Yeah, that's it. It's over. But like, friendship, there'll be a bond there what you can't break for the rest of your life, you know.
Is that right? It seems to be that when you get in the ring with anybody, they become a friend forever, don't they, when you've traded blows?
Yeah, I mean, well, there's some what don't, like, you know. Some you just think, fuck them. But, yeah, like, yeah, 100%. You can't not respect someone when you get to war with them. You know, it's just one of them things.
Tell us about, you mentioned BKB has been massive for you, but how has it changed your life? Because now all of a sudden people know who you are, people know who you are around the world because they watch your fights. What has it done for you, that, in, you know, done for Reece Murray? What has it done for you?
Yeah, well, it's nice, to be fair, because I get quite a lot of inboxes on Instagram and stuff like that. Of people telling me, like, I've inspired them or stuff like that. I mean, I got one today off a young kid asking me if I could send him a signed photo. Brilliant. And stuff like that. You know, it's good. It makes me feel good about myself. Like, people looking up, like, instead of going down another path, like, no one would have looked up to me, not even 5 years ago, because I was still a bit of a rebel then. Like, I was doing things that I shouldn't be doing.
The police would have looked up for you. Well, looked after you. Well,
But that
point in your career, you know, in your life, and BKB. But it seems to me you've come to BKB not just to fight, you've come to BKB almost as a career.
Yeah. I mean, well, I quit my job halfway through this year to pursue this title, like, because I thought if I really, really put my time and effort into this, I can beat, like I said, no disrespect to any of these guys, but I can beat them all, I know I can. So I just quit my job and I started, like, doing PT and down at the gym, you know, to earn money and stuff. And I've just been training full time, so I'm more than ready. I'm physically, mentally, I'm just ready to go. And I just truly believe that it's my time. I've invested too much. I've struggled, like, financially and everything because of this, you know. So I owe myself it.
So you're not leaving any stone unturned, are you? If you don't achieve what you set out to do, it won't be through lack of training, lack of work, like, it'll be whatever, but you're putting everything into it to give yourself the best chance.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if he beats me, then he's a better man and probably the best version of me, so hats off to him. But it's gonna be an hard night. Like, a lot of people underestimate my style, but they don't understand when they get in there, when I'm right in your face and you can't hit me, then I count you. And you're just getting frustrated all night because you're like, how do I get him? And every time I do, and I blink, he's catching me. You know, that's my style. So everyone finds out and they're in there. No one's really got respect for it before. But then afterwards, like, oh, yeah, he's pretty good at what he does, you know.
You got quick hands, speed, power. What do you need to improve on, do you think?
Like I say, I'm just a student at the game. I'm just learning every day. Whatever, I never, like, look at my coaches and think, you can't teach me anything. Whatever they tell me, I just get on with. Like, I'm just a little experiment. You tell me what to do and I'll go and do it. You tell me where I need to improve and I'll, I'm just improving all the time, and we'll see that. I'm like a sponge. I just take it in, and we'll see that on December 3rd.
Long term, I mean, you're British champion. You want to be world champion. Do you fancy doing this like Scott did, fighting in Miami or something? Do you fancy that side of it as well?
mean, I'd fight in Miami, but I'm not a big fan of that rule set or the ring, to be quite honest. Yeah, I mean, when I watched Scott's fight, it was heartbreaking for him, but it just, the rule set were different. I feel like if that fight had been in BKB, Scott would have took him to pieces, because he wouldn't have been able to clinch and them uppercuts wouldn't have been landing like they would. You know, it's just a different rule set. And for someone like me with my style, I'm not like a dirty inside clinching uppercut type of fighter. I'm like a clean box on outside. I mean, I can have a row if I need to, but I'm just not a fan of that style, to be honest. So if they did a BKB with BKB rules over there, then yeah, I'm more than happy. I'd definitely.
I suppose it's worth talking to Jim and Joe and saying every time anybody like Scott fights out there, there should be a plan in place perhaps to bring the same fighter back here under BKB.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see that fight with Scott and that Desmond, but under BKB rules in BKB rings, I think it'd be a different outcome. Really do. And I'm not just saying that because Scott's my pal and I'm biased. I just really do. I was gutted for him overnight. It won't his style of fighting.
Now, obviously, Jim and Joe are the matchmakers, but you've only got one loss and one draw. The loss to Arnold Levici, as you said, is a tough character. Does that stick in your mind? You want another crack at him?
It's one of them. Like, obviously, if it were presented, but I feel like we've both come a long way since then. So maybe like for some other sort of title, that'd be a good fight. Yeah. But at the minute, no, he's on his own path. He's looking for his stuff. I'm going my way. And like I said, no, if it came to it in future, if we cross paths for some title or whatever, then yeah. But no, it don't really bother me that, to be honest. I got over that. I feel like I've redeemed myself with my other fights.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not nice to lose to someone, but at the same time, it is what it is. You just dust it off and move on, don't you?
Absolutely, 100%, providing you learn from the defeat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've gone 6 undefeated since. So
you learn.
Yeah.
What about Nathan Leeson? A draw with him? Is there an unfinished business there, do you think?
Yeah, of course. There's always going to be unfinished business there, but there's always aspect of him making weight. I've done 2 camps for him and he didn't make the weight. So for me, it's pointless. Until he fights someone at 76 and then he stays active in gym, so he's like keeping the weight down, and then maybe me and him can fight the fight after. But at the minute, nah, it don't really interest me, because like I say, it just felt like a waste of time for me, that camp.
You got angry that he didn't make the weight because you always come in on weight.
Yeah, I'm always professional. I mean, I always diet, I drink my water, you know, I'm always doing the right sort of stuff. So for someone not to have respect, to be like, you know, and don't get me wrong, Nathan's not a bad guy. I actually like him as a person, but as a fighter and athlete, I felt very disrespected on both occasions. So no, it don't really interest me, that fight, until he sort of proves his son.
So here we are, December the 3rd. I've not seen the running order yet, but you're going to be close to, you know, we've got 2 world title fights. You're a British, so you're going to be right up the top of the bill.
Yeah.
What are you expecting? Does the fact that it's a title fight, the fact that it's a big night, the fact that it's so important to you, could you actually end up fighting the occasion and not the fight, if you know what I mean?
I've had big fights like with boxing and stuff, maybe not as big as this, obviously, but I've had big fights. I mean, if you look over there, I've got titles and that down there. It's,
wow. Wow.
So I've had plenty of title fights, long fights, 5 rounds, 7s. Like, I've had all these fights, so it don't really bother me. This is just, it's like every day to me, boxing. Like, it's just my thing. It's what I do. It don't bother me at all. So
it seems to me
I sort of rise to occasions, me, like that as well. So when pressure's on, I feel like I perform better.
It seems to me like you're happier with 5 rounds.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm not, a lot of people say I'm a slow starter. I'm not. I just sort of read them. It's like collecting data for maybe 30, 40 seconds, but, and just sticking on jab. It's sort of what I've always done. But obviously, I feel like this fight's going to be different, because I feel like Tony's going to try and get in my face from get go. So I've worked on some other stuff at the beginning of this fight, but I'm not going to reveal that.
No, it's nice. It's nice that you've got a plan, you know. It's good, you know, that I like to see fighters, and we're seeing it all the time now with BKB as it improves show on show, that fighters prepare, they look at their opponents, they work out a plan. I think that's fantastic. It can only be great for the sport. But you've no doubts in your mind that this time on December the 3rd, you're going to be British champion.
Yeah, I'm lifting them titles, that title up. I've been picturing it. I vision it every day. Like, I see it every day. So there's no doubt in my mind.
Do you have any
whatsoever.
Boxing heroes?
Boxing heroes. So, yeah. My favourite boxer of all time is Joe Calzaghe. It was just something else, wasn't it?
You realise you're upset with Robin Reed?
Yeah. Well, to be fair, that fight could have gone either way, couldn't it?
Well, he was close, that's for sure. But Calzaghe, again, had very similar things that you talk about, that professional, on weight, training, focused, all those things that he had, you're bringing into your mentality.
Yeah, yeah. And I can box southpaw as well, so.
Oh. Would that be fair to say? Are you a switch fighter, is that fair to say? Then?
Yeah, like a switch hitter, yeah. I'd say I'm a switch hitter.
But you're orthodox, basically, but you can switch when needed.
Yeah, it depends what day it is.
Rhys, we can't wait to see you. You presumably you'll be coming down the day before, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, hopefully
we can catch up with you then, pre-fight and stuff. It's a pleasure to talk to you, mate. And you know, you're always easy to commentate on because you never stand still. So you're easy to commentate. We're looking forward to it. Good luck. I can't say to you, but may the best man win on the night, because that's the only fair thing for me to do. But thanks for talking to us on the BKB podcast, mate.
No problem, Tom.